This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday that is so jam-packed, I just don't have any idea how we're going to get through everything, but I will do my level best. Of course, you know Medal of Honor Monday is an hour from now. As soon as that's done, we will continue our history on the Rhodesian Bush War. We have Daniel Turner talking energy in the third hour. But before we get to any of those things, we have to talk about the communist response to all these shootings. Australia, Brown University. Someone wrote an amazing article about an entire generation of white men being frozen out of corporate America. Nobody wants to join the military in Europe anymore. All that, Joe Biden handing out Social Security numbers, emails, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, before we do any of those things, I'm sure you probably heard by now, if you have not, we lost a couple soldiers in Syria, ambushed right before Christmas, gone. And we now have their names. They finally released their names. Sergeant Edgar Brian Torres Tovar, 25 years old, from Des Moines, Iowa. Sergeant William Nathaniel Howard, 29 years old, from Marshalltown, Iowa. Obviously, it was an Iowa National Guard unit. Ambushed, killed. Most people didn't even know probably we had a troop presence still in Syria. So these kind of things tend to get forgotten about and dismissed. But these guys gave their lives for the country. Their families will gather 10 days from now. And Christmas is going to hurt. Let's keep them in our prayers. And let's, of course, as we always do, honor these men with taps. Rest in peace, brothers. All right. So there have been a couple shootings that are getting national attention, international attention over the past couple days. I'm sure it's probably normal, but I don't know. It seems like there's an uptick in this stuff lately, doesn't there? Maybe it's just because it's been such a heavy year, the assassination of Charlie Kirk and whatnot, but a bunch of Jews got butchered on a beach in Australia by a couple Muslims, a father-son Muslim coalition, showed up, Hanukkah celebration, butchered a bunch of Jews. We'll get to that in a moment. Brown University, vice president of the Young Republican Club there, young lady, 19 years old, was killed. Another young man was killed. That thing is a little fuzzy right now, meaning the details, the motivations are still extremely fuzzy. And for everything to be fuzzy by this point in time tells me it's intentionally fuzzy. And that brings me to the point, because I'm not going to be breaking down mass shootings and things like that. You know, we don't do that. Please pray for those victims. Pray for the families. I want to discuss something kind of heavy, but I feel like it's important that we talk about this. I think it's natural for human beings, for you and for me, to think, to hope at least, that our fellow humans, certainly people in political leadership, that, yes, they're dumb and corrupt and all the other things we say, but if things get too bad, if things start to collapse too hard, if there is a tragedy too great, that they will break. They will change their ways. They will finally decide enough is enough. And they'll do the right thing. Don't you have that emotion? I'll tell you, I go through that. Surely, if it's bad enough with enough dead people, kids, with something will make them break. Surely. Surely they'll set aside their evil, demonic ways when things get bad enough, right? But we have to set aside that notion because it's childish and it's not true. We have to understand something and be crystal clear about it. We're not dealing with bad. We're dealing with evil, with dark, demonic forces that exist on this planet. And evil never gets tired of doing bad things, ever. They just want to do more bad things. There is no moment where a demon wakes up, I don't know if they sleep, I doubt they do, where a demon wakes up in the morning and says, man, that was actually pretty sad yesterday. I feel like we went too far. Today, let's back off of that. A bad person might. I have guys listening to me who are cons in the joint as we speak, ex-cons, and they email in, and Jesse, I turned my life around. Jesse, I changed my ways. That's not an evil person. That somebody screwed up, did a lot of bad stuff, decided he's going to change. That's bad. Bad can change. Bad can wake up. Demons do not. Bunch of Jews butchered on a beach in Australia by some Muslim immigrants. Here's the response from Australia's Prime Minister.
By saying that the government is prepared to take whatever action is necessary. Included in that is the need for tougher gun laws. And this afternoon at 4 o'clock, I will put on the agenda of the National Cabinet. Tougher gun laws, including limits.
Australia already has some of the strictest gun laws in the world. People are essentially completely disarmed there. Tougher gun laws. Oh, but wait, he wasn't done. He found the people responsible.
We take ASIO's advice very seriously. We work closely with them. We receive regular updates as well. Director General of ASIO has warned about a range of threats, be it anti-Semitism, the rise of right-wing extremist groups as well.
Right-wing extremist groups? A bunch of Jews were butchered at a Hanukkah celebration by Muslims you brought into the country. Right-wing extremist groups? But what? Oh, it's not just Australia. No. Here's Angie Craig. She is a Senate candidate in Minnesota.
Another act of senseless gun violence in this country. And we're the only nation in the world who's...
This is about the Brown University thing.
Another act of senseless gun violence in this country. And we're the only nation in the world whose lawmakers don't seem to be willing to step forward and at least try to address this epidemic we have across our country. I am so saddened. I am just disgusted with my Republican colleagues and their lack of acknowledgement that these lives matter, their lack of acknowledgement that these Annunciation school children matter in our country, and that we can do something about it. It is time to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in our nation.
Okay. Ilhan Omar, lumped both of them together.
It is a tragedy that this has become a normal occurrence. Not just in the United States, but now seeing it in Australia, who's worked really hard to create gun prevention laws to prevent the kind of tragedy that took place today.
Gun laws? Right-wing extremists? People in the wake of tragedy hear these things? Ridiculous things, wrong things, just stupid things? And we almost get confused. What are you talking about? Gun laws? They have gun laws. In Australia, he was using a bolt action rifle. We don't even know that much about what happened at Brown. What are you talking about? Well, if you're asking that question, if you're confused, it's because I would argue maybe you haven't accepted yet that you're not dealing with bad. You are dealing with evil, demonic forces. There is no tragedy so great that they will ever change their ways. Every single thing that happens, good and bad, is seen by them as an opportunity to get more power and smash their enemies. And because you don't think like that, it can be hard to accept that brutal reality, but I am here to tell you that is the truth. We'll continue on this in just a moment. I wanted to read an email to you, though. Wonderful, wonderful email. It's a little long. Stay with me. Jesse, thanks to your show, I learned about preborn. Today, I donated to their organization for the very first time. When I was a younger man, I was a very different than I am now. I did not care about things the way I do now as I approach 60. It's funny how much you change when life beats you up over several decades, a little bit at a time. When I was in my 20s, I masked my own weakness and fear by being callous towards people and their feelings. Before I was 30, I pressured two women with whom I was involved to terminate their pregnancies, one of whom terminated two pregnancies because of me. I was not a good person. The pain and guilt that I feel knowing that I will never see their sweet faces or hear their voices are feelings no one should ever feel. I pray for God's forgiveness every day for my part in ending those innocent lives. I feel I do not deserve His mercy, and I know that it is just that I suffer as I do. May God continue to bless you, Jesse. Thanks for having a preborn as a sponsor. You don't need to ask God's forgiveness every day. Once is enough. You will see their faces one day in heaven, all right? You will see them, and they will meet you without judgment, all right? If you are maybe somebody who suffers from guilt over things you've done, we get these a lot. Preborn helps. It does. To send $28 and know that it buys a life, it buys an ultrasound for a woman so she can choose life is powerful. Consider it this Christmas season. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Do not forget you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Get those emails in this week because after that, you know, we're out of here for a little bit. So jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Back to what we were just discussing. There is nothing, nothing that could happen that would prompt the communist subversives to halt the revolution and be good, decent people. Nothing. And that's hard to hear. And I know it's hard to accept, but assassinations, terrorist attacks, nothing. If you woke up tomorrow morning and some jihadi blew up Los Angeles, right? A nuclear bomb nuked the whole place. 5 million Americans dead. A tragedy that the world has never seen before. Even then, the communists would not change their ways. Because you're not dealing with bad, you're dealing with evil. Everything that happens, good and bad, It's just seen as an opportunity. And remember, the reason for that is they're anti-humans. I'm not the first one who called them that. Solzhenitsyn called them the enemies of humanity, but many people have called them anti-humans. They really genuinely are anti-humanity. It's part of the reason communists have killed so many people in their existence, because human beings being killed is almost always seen as a solution to their problems. You got a problem with this? Let's kill some people. Got a problem with that? Better kill some people. We should kill some people. They have no, they see no value in human life. You are a human being created by God. Do you know that? For a purpose. You have a purpose in this world. You are created by God. You are a soul. You are sacred. Communists don't believe that. For them, your value is only seen as how valuable you are to the revolution. So I don't care if it's 30 school kids, 20 dead Jews on the beach. I don't care if it's a pretty girl, a new father. It doesn't matter what the tragedy is. The communist will never be shaken from his demonic ways. Everything is seen as simply an opportunity to move the communist revolution forward. That's why they have goobers like this on CNN selling themselves as a law enforcement analyst.
What we're told from law enforcement sources now is that they seized two firearms from this 24-year-old suspect. One of those firearms, we are told, was equipped with a laser sight device. This has significance because, number one, that's a fairly sophisticated device for a handgun where when you aim it, a red dot goes where you want to target. And if you fire at that point, the bullet goes where the dot is. It's the kind of...
It's a sophisticated device. He must have been in Delta Force, except I'm pretty sure you can buy one of those for like $50 on Amazon right now, and any moron can attach it to their weapon. I think half the pistols I own have red dots on them, and I'm not some weapons expert, but why? Why would CNN even have some weapons-grade boob like this coming on TV talking like that? It's not about the shooting itself at Brown University. It's not about the suspect. It's not about anything. You are there to further the revolution. Make all guns sound big and scary and like America's unique. And if we just confiscate it all, then we'll be safe. The communist can look at a mountain of dead bodies, a mountain of them, and he will not ever feel how you feel when you see them. If you saw maybe a picture of that beautiful 19-year-old girl who just got executed at Brown University, that feeling you had in your heart of heartbreak for her, for her loss of a future, for her family, 10 days from Christmas, just the horrible, sad tragedy of it all. He didn't feel any of that. I'll play this for you one more time. The video is worse than the audio.
Another act of senseless gun violence in this country, and we're the only nation in the world whose lawmakers don't seem to be willing to step forward and at least try to address this epidemic we have across our country.
That's Angie Craig. If you watch the video, you remember that line from Jaws where he said that he's got lifeless eyes like a doll's eyes? That's that lady's eyes. No, there's no remorse. There's no tragedy. She didn't shed a tear. She's happy. It's an opportunity for the revolution. Demonic forces. All right, let's move on. Talk about some other things. Before we talk about that, I want to talk to you about a new 2026, a better 2026. We're rapidly approaching that time where the New Year's resolutions are going to roll out. What if you had more energy next year than you've had in a decade or two? What if when you get home from work, you want to go for a walk? What if on Saturday, instead of sitting around all day, you feel you have to get out of the house and do something? Natural herbal supplements from Chalk can change your entire life, and I'm not overselling it because they have changed mine. 4 years, give or take, with a male vitality stack every day for me, I feel so much better. I always want to go do something. It makes me stir crazy half the time now. I don't want to sit around the house. Let's get up and go. You want to feel like that? But I'm 70. Yeah, I have emails from 70-year-olds who've had their lives changed. C-H-O-Q. Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. Get a subscription. Save yourself a bunch of money. Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. We are a half hour away from Medal of Honor Monday. And then after Medal of Honor Monday, we're going into part four of the Rhodesian Bush War. I don't know that I'll finish it tonight. I don't think it'll go past tomorrow. Possibly I'll finish it tonight, but hopefully I'll wrap it up tomorrow. I know it's been a long one, but there was so much background I had to set up. And no promises whatsoever. No promises. We are working on potentially having a veteran of the Rhodesian Bush War on at some point this week. I think that would probably be a pretty cool perspective, don't you? Anyway, one more thing about the guns. Nancy Pelosi sat down for an interview. She's getting ready to leave Congress and go be rich and retired. And she has a big disappointment. What is her biggest disappointment?
My disappointment, I always have it, and I'll never give up on it, is guns. A four-letter word, guns. Guns. That children would be dying in a classroom, that families, just the saddest thing. But it's about two things. That politicians should think that their political survival is more.
Why guns? She looks back over this career where she yanked the country to the left. She had a whole lot of power in D.C., used it for the revolution. But her biggest disappointment is she never could take away your guns. Remember, the communist is so angry about your guns. So angry that he does not have a monopoly on force, on killing power. It drives him bonkers. I've used the example before. It would be like training your entire life to climb Mount Everest, and you're within 100 feet of the summit, and there's all of a sudden a wall you can't get through, keeping you from getting there. That's what guns are to the communists and their revolution here in America. They have ripped up so much, destroyed so much, made so many gains on behalf of their revolution, but they can never line you up on the side of a ditch and shoot you in the head like they want to, because you have so many guns and it drives them bonkers. They can't stand it. That's why every Democrat you know, from elected officials to your stupid liberal Aunt Peggy, races to the internet in the wake of any tragedy, trying to use your emotions for their revolution. That's why they gun grabbed so hard in the wake of every single shooting. You can try to cite all the statistics to them you want. You can try to point out the idiotic things they say all you want. That's not why they're doing it. They don't care. You will never sway them at all. Mass human tragedy to the communist is always an opportunity. More specifically, your emotions are always an opportunity, because he doesn't have them. He doesn't share them. Remember when Texas Senator John Cornyn, with Mitch McConnell's blessing, worked with Democrats after that horrible Uvalde school shooting? Classroom full of dead kids, a bunch of worthless coward cops hiding in the hallway, not going in and doing anything about it, and Republicans and Democrats worked together to grab as much of your gun freedom as possible. Why? Because you were sad. I was sad. And in our sorrow, the communist recognizes an opportunity. That is why they gun grab after tragedy. And there is no tragedy so great that will make them change their minds. Look, in Australia, gun confiscation already. Some of the strictest gun laws on the planet. A beach full of dead Jews, unarmed, gunned down by a couple Muslims with hunting rifles, and their prime minister, essentially their president, He found an opportunity.
By saying that the government is prepared to take whatever action is necessary. Included in that is the need for tougher gun laws. And this afternoon at 4 o'clock, I will put on the agenda of the National Cabinet.
But it's Muslim immigration. That doesn't work. They already have the tough guy. He knows all that. He's not interested in stopping another mass shooting. He doesn't care about the last one. He doesn't care at all. Doesn't move him at all. He does care about the revolution. And a bunch of dead Jews on the beach is an opportunity to him. That's it. I told you this under the Biden administration, because they would do this all the time in the wake of a mass shooting. It's hard for people to understand the level of evil, so I'll explain it this way. When there is a mass shooting, they get happy. It's not just that they're not sad. It's not just that they're not angry. When they are in their private circles and they find out, wait, how many kids? 10 dead school kids? Oh, nice. That's going to help. That's going to be a huge opportunity for us. Nice. That's how truly sick and evil these people are. Don't ever forget it. All right. Do a couple emails. Jesse, you say we'd be protected by the oceans, but the commies have been setting up shop inside the border and on the coastlines. Oh, he was talking about, you know, as our country probably moves past its peak years that I was talking about last week, how we have opportunities here. We're going to have an opportunity to really, really slow the decline way down because we have so many advantages, including the oceans. And look, you're not necessarily wrong. I mean, this headline, the FBI is talking about it. The FBI arrests 4 alleged members of a radical pro-Palestinian group of plotting New Year's Eve bombings. Apparently, they had anti-ICE stuff, explosive devices, at least 5 different locations. It was going to happen. They were planning on it, and it was going to happen. But the communist activists is what they were. Free Palestine, free Hawaii, free Puerto Rico, freeing the world from American imperialism. Just a communist terrorist group. If this is all legit, then a bunch of people just had their lives saved in the Los Angeles area. And let's hope there aren't other attacks planned, but you know how that goes. There always are. It is true. We have a communist terrorist problem. We have a jihadi terrorist problem. And those problems are not likely to go away anytime soon. And that is what happens when you allow communists to infiltrate and when you allow them to use your values against you so you never purge them from everything. They should be purged from every walk of life, not just from the government. They should never have employment anywhere. Instead, they're employed everywhere. They're in everything now. And that's going to be a problem. Remember, the Biden administration, the Biden's FBI, I should say, they stopped hunting these people down and they started hunting you down, calling you a domestic terrorist because you showed up at the local school board meeting and you didn't want gay pornography in your child's school library. The FBI opened up a file on you. That's the reality of it. We do have a domestic problem, there's no question. Now, speaking of domestic problems, there is something terrible that has happened in this country, and it's part of the reason we have a younger generation of very, very angry men, displeased, extremely displeased, and there are going to be all kinds of problems that are downstream from that. We are going to speak about the contract a society has with its young people and how America and other countries in the world have broken that contract, the anger that creates, and things that are downstream of that anger. And I'll try to jam all that into the next segment because then we got to go do Medal of Honor Monday and some history, all right? Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Monday, about to get the Medal of Honor Monday and the history of the Rhodesian Bush War. But I'm gonna play you a couple things really quickly. First, this is a little 60 Minutes preview talking about the German military and the recruitment problems they're having.
Despite the uptick in enlistments, the Bundeswehr faces a manpower challenge. It wants to add about 75,000 active duty troops to its all-volunteer force by 2035. History weighs on recruitment. The issue still sparks protests. A recent poll found an overwhelming majority of 15 to 25-year-olds would not take up arms.
An overwhelming majority would not take up arms for Germany. Okay? Play something else. This is going to sound unrelated. Just stay with me. This is a local news story. School decides they're going to, of course, have Pride Day, where you have all the LGBTQ filth out there. Students, not having it.
Parents angry at town hall over intolerance at Marshall Simons Middle School. Kids were asked to wear rainbow clothes in honor of Pride Spirit Day, but some organized a counter-protest wearing red, white, and blue or black. The principal sharing a statement to families that Pride posters were ripped down, stickers ripped up. Some students chanted, USA are my pronouns, and students showing pride were intimidated.
It was an unruly disruption, in fact, that was organized ahead of time.
While some parents were upset.
You got it. Then there's an article today, and I'm actually going to read just a little bit of it. I could read a lot of it, but I won't. In Compact, and I don't know this guy, I don't know Compact, and I don't know who Jacob Savage is. He's apparently the author of this. But the article is titled The Lost Generation. And it is about 2014 was essentially when it began, when white men began being completely phased out of corporate America. That was the year, apparently, DEI got shoved into everything. And this article mainly focuses on the media world, but this is true all across the spectrum. In 2021, new hires at Condé Nast were just 25% male and 49% white. At the California Times, parent company of the LA Times, and the San Diego Union-Tribune, they were just 39% male and 31% white. That year, ProPublica hired 66% women and 58% people of color. At NPR, 78% of new hires were people of color. Quote, for a typical job, we get a couple hundred applications, probably at least 80 from white guys, the hiring editor recalled. It was a given that we weren't going to hire the best person. It was jarring how we would talk about excluding white guys. The pipeline hadn't changed much. White men were still nearly half the applicants, but they were now filling closer to 10% of the open positions. Since 2020, nearly two-thirds of the Atlantic's hires have been women, along with nearly 50% people of color. In 2024, The Atlantic announced that three-quarters of editorial hires in the past year had been women and 69% people of color. I could continue to go down the list. You're welcome to read the article all you want. My point in making these connections between the German military recruitment problems and the local school with the pushback against the pride stuff and corporate America censoring out white men is this. Part of what prompted the end of Rome was Roman citizens did not feel like their government served them. They felt like their government was hostile to them, and they wouldn't join the military. Roman men not joining the military would be unheard of for so much of Rome's history, but joining the military, fighting for your country, it's not a given. There is a contract that exists between governments and citizens, and there are obligations that go both ways. And governments have a history of pretending like that's not the case. You cannot turn against your own people and then have the support of your people. In Germany, young men have watched Muslims be imported en masse, rape their women, stab them, burn down churches. They're not anxious to go fight Vladimir Putin on the cold Asian steppe. Why would you? Why? So I can leave the jihadis back at home to rape my wife? No, I'm good. I'll stay right here. Here in the United States of America. Kids are feeling it. They are feeling like they have been ostracized, feeling like they're second-class citizens, feeling like they've been cut out of things. And look, all the data proves that they were, in fact, cut out of things. Then you turn around one day and you have a bunch of citizens who are not thrilled to fight for their country. They simply won't do it. They're not going to get up and go. This pride stuff, now kids are tired of that too. They're tired of it. Tired of the endless assault on their sensibilities. Tired of the endless assault on their culture, on their chosen religion, on anything. They're tired of it. And it's got to stop. It cannot go on without end. And like I said, the craziest thing is all corrupt governments act like it can. No, we'll be fine. No, after all, we fought in World War II. World War II would never happen today, at least the way it did in the United States of America. Recruitment lines around the block? Not a chance. Not a chance. Maybe under Trump you'd have a chance at it, Trump and Hegseth. But if it was a Democrat president, gaying the whole thing up, not a chance. You'd never get my sons there, I promise you that. Not a chance. It's a big, big deal when governments break the contract, when citizens feel like they are second-class citizens in their society. It's a big deal. And downstream of that, there are so many problems. So many problems. You disenfranchise enough people for long enough, you're going to get bad results. And it's way more than just the military. How many people are sitting at home right now who have sent out 200, 300, 500 job applications and never got a freaking phone call back? Sitting there listening to the sound of my voice, nodding your head, saying, you're daggone right, this is wrong. This is what happens when we don't fight back against this stuff. When we allow them to use our values against us, our kindness against us. When we allow these savages, these race Marxists to tear through this society. The gay Marxists, the climate Marxists, when we allow all forms of Marxism to tear through our society, it just breaks you down from the inside. It's a bad thing. All right. It's time to do Medal of Honor Monday. And then I probably will start during the Medal of Honor Monday segment. It's time for the history of the Rhodesian Bush War, part 4. Remember, if you missed the previous three parts, it was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of last week. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, go download the podcast. You get all the background and everything else. But now the war has reached the 70s and things are about to get bad. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.